Our study continues in the 46th chapter of Ezekiel. We're now in the 16th verse, and in this portion of the chapter, he's given directions concerning the way the prince may dispose of his inheritance. Thus saith the Lord God, verse 16, if the prince give a gift to any of his sons, the inheritance thereof shall be his sons. It shall be their possession by inheritance. So he could give his inheritance to his sons, and if he elected to do so, it would be their possession by inheritance. They would own it. It would be theirs. Verse 17, but if he give a gift of his inheritance to one of his servants, then it shall be his to the year of liberty, after it shall return to the prince. So if he decided to give some of his possessions to his servants rather than to his son, the servant could have it and could use it, but only till the year of liberty, which would be the year of Jubilee. So every 50 years, anything the prince had given to a servant would come back then to the family, to the household of the prince. But his inheritance shall be his sons for them. So it ultimately is to go to the sons. And even though it were given to a servant instead of a son, even then it would be a temporary thing to the year of liberty, to the year of Jubilee. And ultimately then it would come back to the household of the prince to be the sons. Verse 18, moreover the prince shall not take the people's inheritance by oppression to thrust them out of their possession, but he shall give his sons inheritance out of his own possession. Now the prince wasn't allowed to take the people out of their due rightful possessions. He could not by any means take it away from them and give that to his sons. He only gave his sons what was his. His sons' inheritance came out of his own possession. And the purpose for this, that my people be not scattered, every man from his possession. If the prince were to ultimately take the possessions away from the people and scatter the people, run them off because they didn't have any reason to stay, they had no possession, no property, then ultimately he wouldn't have any people to be prince over. So this is just good economics from one standpoint, but it's also what's right and fair and righteous from another standpoint. The servants are not to be cheated out of or defrauded or in any ways have their possessions taken away from them, even though it be the prince trying to do it. And so we see that God's law here provides that each family unit, whether it be prince, whether it be servant, each family unit could keep the original land that was to that family. And even though he should give it to one of the servants, which wasn't originally in the servant's family, it would only be there for a temporary time, then it would come back to the prince. And this was God's way of allowing all of his people, from prince to servant, to be able to continue to have a possession in the land. In the rest of this 46th chapter, from verses 19 through 24, we have a description given of other buildings about the temple, which we hadn't seen before. And those were places to boil the flesh of the offerings in, according to verse 20. So God, who kept such a plentiful at his altar, needed large kitchens. And, being a wise builder, he provided for conveniences of that kind. We'd like to note first where the boiling places were situated. There were some at the entry into the inner court, verse 19, and others were located under the rows in the four corners of the outer court, verses 21 through 23. These were the places where, it is likely, there was most room to spare for this purpose. And this purpose was found for the spare room so that no space was lost. And it is a sad thing that holy ground should be waste ground. Next, we'd like to notice what use that these kitchens were put to. In those places, they were to boil the trespass offering and the sin offering, those parts of them which were allotted to the priests and which were more sacred than the flesh of the peace offerings, of which the offerers also had a share. There also they were to bake the meat offering, their share of it, which they had from the altar for their own tables, according to verse 20. Care was taken that they should not bear them into the outer court to sanctify the people. That is, let them not pretend to sanctify the people with this holy flesh, and so impose upon them. This wasn't God's purpose for this. So they weren't to bring this among the people so as to give any semblance of being able to cause the people to be sanctified by this meat. The people were not to imagine that by touching these sacred things they were sanctified or made any better, are more accessible to God for having done so. So the priests must not carry any of the holy flesh away with them, lest they should encourage that idea. And of course, in all ages, and especially in the age of the church today, we must take heed that we not do anything that would bolster up ignorant people in their superstitious vanities. Otherwise, you're going to have people worshiping things and having spiritual feelings about things that God never intended to be. And so we conclude the 46th chapter of Ezekiel.